Class is back in session. It's time for Baptist Basics University from BaptistBasics.org. Welcome back to Baptist Basics University. I'm Matthew Gage. This is lesson number 34 in our series on the book of Acts, The Journey to Rome, Part 2. Will be in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 31. And like I said, we will be wrapping up the book of Acts right here, chapter 28. It's the last chapter. We will have one more lesson in this series that, you know, hopefully will be out the week after I release this, if you're keeping up with them. And we will kind of wrap up the book of Acts and kind of talk about what happens afterwards, you know, the death of Paul and kind of wrap it up with the rest of the story. Because you're going to see the book of Acts kind of ends. There's not a big climatic ending. It just kind of ends. It's like Luke was recording it and got up to the present day and just stopped writing. In fact, it almost seems like there ought to be more to it. Why doesn't he finish, you know, with the death of Paul? Well, he was writing while Paul was still alive, and he just wrote up to the what was happening and quit writing. So, but anyway, we'll get to that here in a little bit. The time period we're going to cover is 61 to 63 AD, somewhere in that range. Perhaps it's going to be before 64 AD, I'm quite sure. And we will begin, in the previous lesson, Paul's been shipwrecked on an island. They did not know what the island was. We're going to find out that the island is the island of modern day is called Malta. It's an island in the Mediterranean. It's still there, you know, of course, but the only thing I can think of that actually has any kind of relevance to the island of Malta as I was studying is the Maltese Falcon, you know, that was in the movie, which I never could figure out if that thing actually really even existed. I think that was something that was just made up. I tried to look that up, and evidently I think the guy, just when he wrote that book, just made it up, as far as I can tell. But anyway, so the island's called Melita in the book of Acts. It's the modern day Malta. So a lot of times they're like that. A lot of these names are so close. Evolution of language and stuff. So, you know, some of the spelling or the way it's pronounced has changed, but it's usually very, very similar. In this case, it actually is. Melita is now called Malta. It's very close. So without that, let's jump right on in. And we'll finish up the book of Acts today. It's kind of sad to see it go. I really, really enjoyed this study and digging into the history and really just myself learning so much more about Paul's ministry. I've learned so much in studying this. I hope that you have too in listening. So in verse 1, and when they were escaped, that's, you know, from the shipwreck, we're continuing just right after the events of chapter 27. Then they knew that the island was called Melita. Verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Okay, so they're at this island of Melita. It's actually under Roman control. There's a Roman governor in charge of it, and he is actually, I think, under the authority actually of like the Roman government in Greece, I think is kind of the way it filters down. The barbarous people, these are not barbarian people. The word there kind of means more local. They're not Roman blood. I've seen people, historians really gripe about this. Well, this is not historically accurate. Luke's not saying that these are barbarians like the, you know, the uncivilized, quote unquote, you know, Germanic tribes to the north were. I think he's just kind of mean the local, just insignificant, nobody, you know, people there of the island is the best way that I can describe that. But anyway, they've gathered them all together. They've got a fire. Now, where are, you know, 276 people? This has got to be, this is probably just, you know, in some sort of shelter from the rain, from the storm. They've built a bonfire so that, you know, everybody can dry out and warm up. in verse 3, and when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, so they're all helping to get wood for the fire, get it going, and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So Paul has this bundle of sticks in his arms. He throws them on the fire. Well, evidently there was a snake in that bundle. And the snake leaps out of the fire and strikes at Paul and bites him in his hand. And I don't know why. I always imagine it being his left hand, Paul kind of jerking back to the right as the snake comes and fastening kind of over on his... I imagine it getting his kind of his wrist down by his pinky, you know. This is how I imagine it. And verse 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. So, you know, one of those things like, okay, well, evidently this is a bad man because something bad is happening to him. That's their logic there. Verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So I like it. It doesn't just let the little snake go. He actually just throws it in the fire and kills it. But, you know, there's no effect. He's not dying. This goes back. You remember, this is a miracle. We know that Christ told the apostles they'd be able to take up, you know, poison and it would not hurt them. Well, this is a case. Well, evidently that is coming true. This is a miracle and it's, you know, God protecting Paul, but it's also getting him in good with the locals. Verse 6, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. So the superstitious people, they're sitting back looking, oh boy, he's about to die. Yep. Oh boy, the swelling ought to kick in. Yeah, he ought to be dead by now. Well, he didn't die. So what's the reason? Well, he must be a god. He's somebody special because the natural laws are not applying to him. So verse 7, and then basically, you know, when he was God, would they worship him? This basically just kind of gets him in good. They realize there's something special about him. Part of the purpose of the miracles was a validation of these men and their ministry. Were they going to listen to this Roman prisoner preach the gospel? Would anybody listen to him? No. After they've seen him get snake bit and not die, yeah, they're going to listen to him. Verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, this governor of the island, if you will, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And verse 8, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. I like that. There's Dr. Luke making his diagnosis, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So a second miracle. Which probably would not have happened had it not been for the first one, you know, Paul's reputation. So here we go. But Publius's father now has been healed. Verse 9. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Verse 10. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. So they get a lot of special benefit. You know, Paul's healing a lot of people. Word's gotten out. In this brief time that they're on the island of Melita, and they've healed a bunch of people, and talks about, you know, the honors, so they've been giving them gifts, and when it came time to leave, basically, boy, they've given them all the supplies that they need. So in we'll see in verse 11, we're going to continue on and travel into Italy. Verse 11, and after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, that's Alexandria, Egypt, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Castor and Pollux, they're twin Roman gods, and evidently very popular that, you know, ships would sail under this name or under this sign. And you know, kind of like you know, pirates and their Jolly Roger naming their ships and stuff. Well, this is kind of what they do, is they name their ship after these gods and hope for the gods' protections. You know, they were very superstitious, and as dangerous as sea travel was, you know, they were taking every precaution. Verse 12, and landed in Syracuse. At Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. Okay, so that Syracuse, of course, is in Sidley. It's on the western shore of Sidley. It's very famous. You can go way back into Roman history and study about it. Verse 13. And from thence we fetched a compass. It doesn't mean they got a compass. What I take that to mean is that a compass is in a roundabout route that they circled around. And came to Rhegium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Petulia, something like that. Okay, Rhegium is on the southern toe of Italy. You know, Italy kind of looks like a boot, and Rhegium is this town that's on that toe. It's down on the edge. Modern, it's called Reggio Calabria. So you can see the name has even been gone. But Petulia, I hope I'm close on that one, is on the eastern shore. So they're sailing up the eastern coast of Italy, which is kind of the quickest way to get to Rome. Rome is actually kind of on the, is that eastern shore? Yeah, okay. I got to think here. Yeah. Never mind. I'm getting mixed up. Okay, so 15. And no, I won't edit that out. I like to keep it real. Verse 14. Where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. So they're sailing up and getting in closer to Rome. Verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. Just a second here. Did I skip something? No, I didn't. Okay. Yes, I did. I knew I did. I got notes here. Verse 15. And from the, so we went toward Rome, verse 14. Verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom, when they saw, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. I cannot read. I skipped the verse, and boy, it doesn't even make sense. Now I can't even read it. What's going on? The Appii Forum is on the Appian Way. They're actually traveling up what's called the Appian Way. You can go there and still see this and see that road. And it's about 43 miles or so from Rome is where this forum is. And then next we see the three taverns, so named evidently because there were taverns or meeting places there. It's 18 miles from Rome. And many times what would have is evidently this place where they would, people from Rome would go to meet people that were traveling to Rome. So, if you heard that your uncle was coming, you would go there and wait and meet them there and then travel back with them into Rome. It is evidently kind of its purpose. Okay, so now verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So so now he's turned over into the care of Caesar and the Roman government. But we see suffered is not, this isn't a punishment. Basically, this is actually very good. He's not being locked into a cell. He's being allowed to just be kept under guard, kind of under house arrest. Verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. So Paul, it's funny. Paul, even as a prisoner, is still following his usual method of operation. He arrives in his town. What's the first thing he does? He calls the Jews in. He gets with the Jews and starts preaching the gospel to them. And the first thing he's saying, look, guys, you may have heard about me, and you know I'm sitting here. But he said, look, I haven't committed anything. He's still maintaining, look, I haven't broken the Jewish law or tried to, get rid of the Jewish law. So verse 18, who, when they had examined, would have let me go, he's talking about the Romans, because there was no cause of death in me. Verse 19, but when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I ought to accuse my nation, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. So look, the Jews accused me, but I had to appeal to Caesar, and not that I couldn't blame my people. Verse 20, For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. So what's the hope of Israel? That's Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah he's speaking about. Verse 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. So I was like, we didn't heard anything about you. Verse 22. But we desired to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So it's like, you know, yeah, we're kind of interested. We want to know more about this Christian thing. We hear everyone talk against it, but we really don't know much about it. So verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, as say, because he's under house arrest, basically, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So all day he's explaining the basis for Christianity to these Jews and explaining who Jesus was, what Jesus did, and how it all was prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So, of course, some are won over, some are not. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well, and this is what he said, well spake the prophet, I can't read. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. Verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their heart, I'm having a horrible time reading, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So his final parting word is basically going back to Isaiah and referencing, which is Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And basically where God told Isaiah, look, you're going to go and preach these people, but they're going to hear, they're going to see, but they're not going to understand it. And basically Paul's claiming that same thing, saying, look, you know, the truth is here, and I have to preach it, and I'm going to preach it, but it doesn't mean that everyone is going to accept it. So he's falling back on that promise, and then saying that because the Jews are not willing to hear, he's going to take it to who will hear it, and that is the Gentiles, which is also prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 29, And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So they leave and they're really debating all this stuff. You know, there's some that believe Paul, some that hadn't. So they're debating and trying to figure out what to think about this as they leave. And so we now close the book of Acts with the final two verses. Verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. That's basically under house arrest for 2 years. And received all that came in unto him. Verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And thus we close the book of Acts, that for 2 years, Paul is preaching as a prisoner, as a basically under house arrest. But they're allowing all these people to come in. He can't go out and preach, but the people that will come, he will tell them of the gospel, and it will explain it to them. And that for 2 years, Paul, as a prisoner, is preaching the gospel, winning souls, and not being hindered in the work, that he has perfect liberty to continue teaching under house arrest. So there we go. We wrap up, in a very anticlimactic way, the book of Acts. Paul is a prisoner. He's preaching the gospel, and there we will leave him. And we will continue on in lesson 35 and talk about what happened, what probably happened afterwards, some of the theories, and finish out the life of Paul. These are the last years of Paul's life. Any way you look at it, he's just a few years or maybe even shortly to die a martyr's death, according to tradition. So, like I said, we'll cover that when we deal with all that in lesson number 35. Well, I cannot believe this. I was kind of in a hurry. My time to record was very short, and I cannot believe that I've covered an entire chapter in only 20 minutes. This is amazing. Maybe we ought to go back and do it all again. Wow, I'm really surprised. I know I was kind of in a hurry, and there's a lot of this is just goes by very quickly. But I'm just really so shocked that it only took 20 minutes to get through that. I think that will be by far the shortest lesson in this entire series is the very last one. I can't believe it. Well, anyway, I appreciate you listening today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you as we've wrapped up the book of Acts. As we've wrapped up the text of the book of Acts, I hope that you'll join me in lesson number 35 as we kind of tie a big bow on it. And deal with what happened after the book of Acts and the closing of the book of Acts. And really what we'll do in that lesson is kind of take things up from really specifically with the death of Paul, what happens, and basically up really only about 5 to 10 years into the future past the close of Acts chapter 28. But then we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what happens with the church just very briefly over the next century or two. But anyway, I hope that you'll listen in on that, and I will quit rambling, and you'll get off easy today in this class. Don't you love it when the teacher lets you out early? You're getting let out early in this class. We'll wrap up this. I will see you next time. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you, and I'll see you next time in lesson number 35. Once again, I'm Matthew Gage, and thanks for listening today.